Blog Talk Radio.
Thursday, March 26, 2015. This is the Hockey Guys Podcast. Yours truly, Hunter Crowther, and my co-host, Chris Shannon. Chris, how are you doing on this Thursday?
I'm doing good. Doing good. In the midst of this playoff run, playoff push for all these teams, it's exciting hockey to watch. It's almost the playoffs, and can't be mad. It's spring.
Have you traded in your Habs sweater for a Senators one?
Haha, that's a good one. No, nah, that's not me. I'm happy for the Senators. You know, I'm not cheering against them. Like, I'd rather them make the playoffs than the Bruins. But I hope they make it. And I think it's a really realistic thing now that they'll make the playoffs. I mean, Boston lost Dougie Hamilton for a month now. I don't know how they're going to be able to. They're going to be able to play through that. I mean, that's your best defenseman. So, yeah, I think it's more of a realistic thing that the Senators are going to make the playoffs after this crazy run.
Well, we can only hope. Let's get right into it today. Joining us on the line right now is a sports TV. She is a Carleton University grad, and her name is Sarah Jean Bahar. Sarah Jean, what's going on today?
Hello. How's it going?
Not too bad. What are you up to?
I'm actually at the arena awaiting the puck drop for the 67s and the Ice Dogs.
That's right. You're currently in Ottawa right now for game one of that series. So what are the storylines for the series?
Well, I was having this discussion with a few people beforehand, and I mean, ideally this could go either way, but Niagara's pretty hot right now. I think the consensus is Niagara taking this in six or seven games.
Hey, Chris, are you there?
Oh, yeah, sorry, man. Sarah, I mean, we've had a crazy OHL season. We've had stars in the making,
and Connor McDavid and Dylan Strome and Mitch Marner. I was watching Strome a couple days ago, and
he just looked like he had an amazing release and was one of the best players out there on the ice. Is he an elite player if he makes the NHL, in your opinion?
Dylan Strome? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he's an all-around complete player. He's an obvious point producer. Learning, like, being on the same ice as Connor McDavid, getting to play with him every day, looking up to him as a leader, has to be a bit of a learning curve as well. So, I mean, that's something you can definitely put on the hockey resume. It goes beyond kind of just playing with him and bouncing points off him, but learning from a great player like that, I think that's definitely beneficial, and that's something that he can use to improve as well. Not to put all the spotlight on Connor McDavid, but because I know McDavid was injured, for example, Strome had a lot to say about how, you know, this isn't Connor McDavid's team on its own. This is everyone's team, and we got to see, in that sense, Dylan Strome really step up. So I think we were able to get a taste of that, and I think he's proven himself absolutely as an elite player.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Joshua Hosang plays for the Niagara Ice Ducks right now, and he was traded there earlier in the season. And he had a pretty good year, similar to his season last year. And now his former coach in Windsor, Bob Bugner, told the Windsor Star, and I quote, "It was mandatory that we had to trade him for many, many, numerous internal reasons. People that truly know what went on behind the scenes would understand why we had to trade him." Those are strong words from his former coach. Very actual problem in the locker room, or is he more a victim of
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, for sure. I'm assuming it's getting pretty loud at the arena. Essentially, I'm touching up on Bob Boober's comments from recently on Joshua Hosang. I was wondering if you thought that Hosang is the stereotype of him being a locker room problem. Do you think that exists, or is it more that he's just a black ace in what is seen as hockey's conservative culture?
That's a good question. I wouldn't deny that it might have been a locker room issue. That's the kind of stuff that we don't get to see, so it's hard to tell. But to trade a top player like that, you have to wonder where the issues come from. Because on paper, Windsor is a better team with Josh Hosang. So, I mean, to trade a big player like that, I can only assume that the issue does stem from what goes on inside the locker room. What those issues are, I don't know, but everyone's touched on maturity and just attitude. So, that stuff plays a big role in hockey, especially when you're, you know, when an NHL team is interested in you, but you're not quite there yet. These are the things they take into consideration. So I have no doubt in my mind that these kinds of things were apparent off the ice.
So, Sarah, the Generals are one of the best teams in the OHL right now, and they'll be facing off against Peter O'Peats.
I followed them a lot this year because one of the Habs prospects, Michael McCarron, was traded to that team earlier in the year. They look like one of the strongest teams in the OHL.
Yep.
Do you think that they have a strong shot of winning it all? And maybe is there a team that you think could probably beat them?
If there's a team that could beat them, I'm going to go with the obvious Sault Ste. Marie in the finals. Maybe the Erie Otters, but I think Sault Ste. Marie on the stats don't lie, they've had a virtually unstoppable team. But of course, the Oshawa Generals have too. And I know you can make that argument that the Eastern Conference is weaker, but I think absolutely the Generals have what it takes to win it all. I've been boasting the idea that I don't think the Greyhounds are at Oshawa's level in terms of goaltending. I think Ken Appleby's been pretty remarkable this year. They've been a virtually unstoppable year in terms of points and in terms of defense as well. You look at the kind of guys they have, Michael Dalcol, and in terms of veteran players, Cole Castle. Now they have Michael McCarron. If they won it all, it would be no surprise.
Yeah, let's not forget about Oshawa Generals captain Josh Brown, who's been leading them throughout the season, a friend of the show. Sarah, let's look at the Western Conference in the O. Last spring, when we met each other at the Memorial Cup, the OHL representatives were the London Knights and the Guelph Storm. And now both teams finished third and fourth, respectively, in the Western Conference. And London's about to face Kitchener Rangers, and Guelph's about to face Owen Sound. How do you think the Knights and the Storm have played after last season's disappointing ending to their respective seasons so far this year?
I think, to be honest, I can't speak for everyone, but the Guelph Storm have played at the caliber that I expected, absolutely. I think it's safe to say we all assume the London Knights are going to do well I don't know about next year, but I think this year we all knew we all expected good things from the London Knights. That just seems to be the kind of mindset across the league, but Guelph lost a lot of their depth last year, as you know, but I think they've held their own, and like I said, they finished basically where I penciled them in. But that being said, playoff hockey is a different kind of hockey, so I wouldn't put it past them not to make it to the second round, but unfortunately I haven't spent as much time watching them as I would have, just being in the Western Conference and all the way in Ottawa, but they obviously have some big players on their team as well. So guys like Robbie Fabry and Bertuzzi, that line is pretty great. So that's how I feel about the golf form.
Sarah,
Sam Bennett was with the Calgary Flames this year to start the year,
and he had an injury and then moved down back to the Kingston Frontenacs. Has he done well with the team once he's been back down? You know, he had that really bad injury that took him out for a couple months. Has he produced?
He has definitely produced, and Kingston went on a tear with Sam Bennett back in the lineup. It was very much a blessing for the Kingston Frontenacs. He came at the right time. Like, he couldn't really have come at a better time in terms of where Kingston was in the standings. So he's been a huge contributing factor in getting them into the spot they are now. He was scratched for one of the recent games last week. A bunch of them were scratched against, I think it was Erie or Oshawa, one of the high Western teams, and team kind of faltered a bit, but I think it's very apparent that the team is a different team with him in the lineup.
It's the Hockey Guys podcast with, go ahead, Sarah. Please finish your statement.
No, I was just going to say, having missed so much of the year because of that injury, I'm sure it's a great accolade for him, having kind of something to prove. He's obviously dying to make that Calgary Flames roster as soon as possible, so coming in and making a great impact is, you couldn't really ask for a better return.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Hockey Guys podcast. I'm here with Chris Shannon, yours truly, Hunter Crowther. Here with our guest, Sarah Jean Mahar, joining us from Ottawa. Sarah, we'll only ask a few more questions, then we'll let you prep for tonight's game. Thank you, Sarah. Most of the tech column, the experience of Montreal has been vocal and sold and relocated to Hamilton. First of all, what went wrong in Belleville in terms of how they ran the organization, and how do you think junior hockey will do in Hamilton as opposed to the AHL caliber of play that they've seen for a number of years?
Yeah, I've kind of been thinking about that myself. I mean, it's safe to say that the Belleville relocation came as a bit of a shock for most of us. The biggest story that, like, what wasn't working in Belleville's favor was the arena, which needed some work. It was old. And there's been all this talk about, you know, in the future maybe putting some more money into this arena, revamping it, kind of like they did here in Ottawa. But I don't think the team moving to Hamilton was on anyone's radar or most people's radar. So I feel really sorry for the people of Belleville, because that's a team that has done fairly well in this league for a long time. I don't know how well this team's going to do in Hamilton. I hope that, you know, with a new team, sometimes there's room for a little more rebranding. Belleville's a team Belleville, soon to be Hamilton, they're a team that are kind of like coming down from, last year they failed to make the playoffs. They've been a fairly strong team. So I think, you know, they got rid of Ramielli at the trade deadline. They're kind of working towards the future here. I don't expect them to make a long postseason push here. So I think with that in mind, this team kind of has an opportunity to rebrand and revamp a little. And, I mean, with that, we could see a great turnout. We could see a lot of success in terms of the fans as well. But it's hard to tell. That's what I'm hoping for the team.
Sarah, this will be my last question, and thank you for coming on. I was just wondering, Jordan Subban, he was drafted to the Vancouver Canucks in the fourth round, 115th overall. Has he been doing well in the OHL this year? Everyone always wants to talk about how, compare him to PK. PK says he plays better than he actually ever played. Could he ever make the NHL and being a great player? Or is he more of, is it too early to tell right now?
I would like to say it's not too early to tell, just because he's, you know, a junior hockey veteran at this point. He's had a lot of time to establish himself. He definitely doesn't play at the same caliber as his brother has played at this age. I'd like to point out that he skates almost the exact same, and I think it's pretty incredible. But I see Jordan Subban being maybe a call-up. Don't know if he'll have – well, he won't have the same career, but I don't know if he's, like, NHL material ultimately. But does he deserve a shot? Yeah. Sure.
Right on. Anyway, we'll let you get back to tonight. Have a great night tonight. I hope you enjoy game one between the Ottawa 67s and the Niagara Ice Dogs. Sarah Jean Mahar, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great night.
That is Sarah Jean Mahar of Sportsnet and Rogers TV. You can find her stuff online and follow her on Twitter, at Sarah Jean Mahar. Sarah, one of the brighter minds in junior hockey, right up there with Nate Seeger, who we had on a couple months ago. You know, those are two of the more well-known voices in the CHL. They have the inside track on Canadian juniors, and you know, all really smart hockey people. Follow them on Twitter. There is a whack of NHL games tonight. We haven't even mentioned the cure ramifications. First of all, let's start off with the Anaheim Ducks and the Boston Bruins. That game will take place in less than 45 minutes. General thoughts on the Ducks, who are coming off an ass-whipping from the Rangers a couple days ago, and now they face the Bruins, who are struggling to get the last wild card spot in the East. Chris, what's up?
Well, I'll start with the Ducks. I mean, this team at the beginning of the year was on fire. They're the best team in the NHL. No, they had no issues. And Frederik Andersen was amazing. And then he got an injury, and it all turned around. Since that moment he was injured, John Gibson came up and played lights out. I mean, he played the way everyone expected him to play this year, and that he never showed. And so then Frederik Andersen comes back, and it's a fight for goalie now. It's a two-headed monster in a way. There's no one's taking advantage of taking the starting spot. Both goalies have struggled, but then both goalies have done well. This team is kind of an issue right now because this two-headed monster is growing and growing, and not one guy is getting better, and they don't have that number one guy. And Andersen was 100% that number one guy, probably one of the best goalies out there, and he's really struggled since he's been fighting with Gibson for this position. I'm interested to see if this will be an issue going into the playoffs and what Bruce Boudreau does here. I mean, is he going to pick a number one goalie, or is he just going to do what he did last year and go with one of his, I mean, go depending on each game?
It is interesting. And, you know, one thing I've heard coming out of Anaheim with some of the Ducks, for the most part, have been really resilient this year, but they've had their troubles. And as always, going into the postseason, the Ducks have the doubters. A lot of people question their depth. A lot of people wonder if their goaltending can put together enough offense past the meetings of Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry. I still think that he's done a terrific job since entering Anaheim. I mean, from what I've seen, he's been able to add to that team that something that they never had in their previous regime. If you look at the Ducks' numbers when they had Randy Carlyle, and I hate to pick up old bones, but their possession and their winning percentages sharply declined with the passing season, despite the fact they won the Cup in 2007. But I think that there has to be a bit of patience in Anaheim right now because Bruce Boudreau is a very smart hockey mind. He really is. And what he's really good at is getting guys to buy into a system and get them to buy into what he's selling. And I think there's an opportunity right now in Anaheim where he can stay the course with them and they can see what they can do in the postseason. The Ducks are going to be a dangerous team. And right now we're not even sure if the LA Kings are going to make the playoffs. I still am holding hope for it. I'm not sure what's going to say. It seems like they're in. But we'll see. And at this point, I'm not sure. From the Bruins' perspective, though, this is a must-win. I know I'm stating the obvious here, but the Bruins are in a situation now where they can't mess up. They have to be winning games. The Senators have a game in hand on them, and they're still a point behind. It's going to be tough for the Bruins right now because right now Ottawa's unstoppable. We've been talking about them on the show a bit. I'm interested to see what the Bruins will be able to do tonight against the Ducks, but right now I got no faith in them. Right now Ottawa's riding high. Another game tonight is the Los Angeles Kings and the New York Islanders. The Kings, like we've mentioned, are struggling to get in that final wild card spot, currently 2 points behind the Winnipeg Jets. And New York Islanders are just rolling. You know, I've wanted to put a real resurgence in New York right now. Rangers are arguably the best team in the East, and the Islanders have been playing as well as they have, from what I can imagine, at least a decade. New York hockey's good right now. And if I'm a fan of a metropolitan hockey team, sorry, New Jersey Devils, but it's a promising division right now. I mean, not to mention, we're not even talking about the Penguins. And shout out to my buddy Michael Curtis, who's pointed this out a few times. Washington Capitals, we don't give them enough love. I mean, they are doing really well right now in the Eastern Conference. Give them all the credit. But let's focus right now on the Islanders and Kings. I'm actually curious on your thoughts, Chris. I've just been rambling, but what are your thoughts on the Islanders right now?
You know, they were struggling a little bit before. They're 3-4-3 in their last 10 games. But it's kind of normal. I mean, this team was surprised everyone how good they were doing at the beginning of the year. And they haven't really struggled until the last little while. And everyone says you want to be playing your best hockey before you go into the playoffs. We'll see if they can do that. But this team's a good team. I'm not scared. I'm not thinking, oh, man, they're going to have trouble playing in the playoffs. They're going to be playing against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So you know who you're going to play. You know who your matchup is. You play really well against that team. You've got to be excited. I mean, this is a series. These are your rivals. You want to go show them something. We're a playoff team now. We're going to get past you. We've already had trouble against you. It's going to be that's going to be one of my favorite series to watch this year. Like it was with Pittsburgh versus Columbus this year, I think it's going to be another one of those that's just a hard-hitting rivalry, fast-speed scoring. It's just going to be a great game, and the goaltending is going to be horrible or off or amazing. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury and Halak, I mean, they've both had their great moments, and they've both had horrible moments. We'll see what they produce this year. Yeah, I like the Islanders team as a whole. I like the story, and it's their last year, and I hope they can bring their fans a little bit of winning to the island for the last year.
It is a shame how a team could go from four straight cups in the 80s to near irrelevancy and bankruptcy in the 90s, and then years of, I guess, hovering around mediocrity throughout the 2000s, and for the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's been a real struggle for the Islanders. So, you know, not to talk about the whole touchy-feely good story the Islanders are, but, you know, it's exciting hockey. And they're playing tremendous. I mean, if Carey Price wasn't having the season that he's having right now, you'd have to imagine that John Tavares would at least get some praise for the MVP award, because he's just been lights out.
Like, he's carried that team. Yeah, he's carried that team. He's been the LeBron James of the Miami Heat last year in the NHL.
And it's you're going to see now that he's got help and he's got players around him who can contribute. So he's carrying this team. And I admit, I was one of those students who, in his first few years, he wasn't exactly producing at a top rate. And I thought, oh, what's up with Johnny T? Is he going to be an elite player? But you see him now when he's surrounded by legitimate, bona fide NHLers. And you really see what the talent is. And I wish the Islanders nothing but success because they're fun to watch. Another big game tonight, as we continue our love affair with the Ottawa Senators, or at least mine. They play the New York Rangers in Ottawa tonight. Another one would widen the gap between the Senators and the Bruins. Sens are red hot right now. What are your thoughts right now on them?
I mean, you can't say anything negative about this team. I've cheered for them. I love the story they've gone through, and Andrew Hammond, I love it. He's the best story this year. He's better than Dubnyk because this guy, Dubnyk played in the NHL. You know, he had a career, but Hammond, he was a horrible player in the AHL. I mean, he wasn't horrible, but he was not a solid player. No one would ever think of him being called up. Even in high school and college, he was not a great goalie. You know. He talked about last Saturday on a Sportsnet interview. He was saying, well, I never thought I was going to play in the NHL, and I was going to give up. I had a sports management career. I was going to go start that. And then his coach, one of his old coaches, said, no, you're good enough to play. Let's keep it going. I want to take you. And he was good enough to play, and he kept on playing, and now he went into the AHL, and that was a huge surprise. I mean, every day there's a new hero on this team. There's a new great player that's producing and making this team much better, and I'm excited to see who it is every night, because every night it's a different player. It's Turris, it's Stone, it's McCulloch, it's Borowski. I mean, it's just going to be an exciting team to watch in this playoff series and the last run for the playoffs.
Absolutely. And don't know. I really am starting to root for them to get in. I really hope they do. Because the more I think about it, too, I mean, at one point I was thinking that it was just this hot streak from Hammond. Like we talked about on our show, Pesky Sens, I mean, the team itself has just been contributing nonstop. I mean, they're getting contributions from everyone. Erik Karlsson's continuing to prove that he's a lead.
And they don't have Chris Neal.
They don't have Chris Neal. And for
and
how long have
team.
We always... He should be off the team because he's terrible. But, I mean, how long have we watched the Ottawa Senators and right in the middle of every scrum is that ugly face of a guy who, A, can't produce. B,
he's a playoff player. Yeah, but he's a playoff player. You need him on that lineup. I know. I understand that. Like, he's not. Like, he's not going to produce. He's old. But he's a playoff player. He's going to go out there. He's going to hit. He's going to get your team energy. I can totally see him being inserted in the lineup with Zach Smith. I mean, those are two similar players. You got to get those energy players in the playoffs. I like Chris Neal. I mean, I don't know how he's going to fit in the lineup, but I do like him as a player and for what he does. But he's one of the last guys that do that. That will fight every night, and it doesn't matter. He'll do anything for his teammates. And you do need that, and he's got the veteran leadership that this team kind of lacks, I think.
Good point. Although, my favorite Chris Neal memory has to be his fights against the Leafs, whatever he fought against Toronto. Darcy Tucker, Colton Orr, Ty Domi, Wade Bielak.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to move on. And I can't believe we dedicated three minutes to this show to Chris Neal. Any guy from around the sport, whether it's a guy who was a tough guy in hockey or he worked for the game, and whenever the discussion of the toughest guys in the league comes up, I'll give him credit. Chris Neal's name comes up every single time. And I invite anyone who's a listener of this show, all whoever knows how many people out there listen to the show, anyone listening, go to hockeyfights.com and look up Chris Neal. I was baffled at the guys on that fight list. I mean, he has taken on nearly every heavyweight I could think of. And credit to him. Because in that world where, especially in a world that's dying and you see less and less tough guys getting jobs around the league, his hockey fights page is just simply fascinating. I mean, he's taken on some of the toughest guys in the league. As much as I strip the guy, and that might be my own sports fan, and just blood boiling over the guy, respect, because he's taken on some heavies. And who knows if he ends up coming back to the team in the postseason and may be able to contribute something, because right now, what's going on right now is magic. Got about less than 2 minutes left of the show. Chris, any final thoughts before we break off?
Montreal versus Winnipeg will be a big game. Big Buff is coming back, and Winnipeg needs those 2 points. I think that'll be an exciting match to watch. And, we've got two and a half weeks left of the NHL, and then we're in the playoffs, and it's the best time of the year. And I am so excited. Montreal may clinch the playoffs tonight. I'm just so excited for playoffs to start.
I think the real thing we're all excited for is that the NHL draft lottery is April 18th. Police gonna get McDavid, Eichel, Police gonna get Dylan Strome or Mitch Marner.
It's the finish line coming up. The finish line is coming up for you fans.
Man, the Leafs have missed the finish line for 48 years. They don't even know
they're
where.
They're just waiting for it to. Yeah, yeah. I think Phil Kessel wants to be in Ottawa so he can eat some of the burgers on the ice. Free burgers, right?
Before we get. We've got like 50 seconds left. Why doesn't Ottawa just throw plastic burgers on the ice? I've seen this recommendation on Twitter a lot. Just make fans pay a buck for a plastic burger and they're going to throw it on the ice. It's the greatest idea ever.
There's new rules that they're not allowed to throw them on the ice anymore. Like, they give them to a food kitchen, is what Cameron said. I think that's not allowed anymore, which is kind of sad. It was like the marquee of like when the Panthers threw the Raps on the ice and Detroit with the Octopus. But I guess, Ottawa's too good for that.
Anyway, that's my crappy joke for the day. This has been the Hockey Guys Podcast. Thanks to Sarah G. Mahar joining us from Ottawa. A little bit of contribution on junior hockey. Co-host Chris Shannon, my name is Hunter Crowther.